Stand, Christian. Greetings to each one here. You sang in that last verse, "Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved." I trust this morning, this special service, that you can feel that. That you can get a new glimpse of the love that our Father, God, had when he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for my sin. Dearly, dearly has he loved. Thank Brother Nelson for those devotional meditation. As I ponder that love, I too want to dwell some of that on the message this morning of the love of our Father. A service to remember. You know, this morning, that's what this service is. A service to remember. Not so much to remember that we had this special service, but it's a service to remember the price that was paid for my sins and for your sins. He said, well, we find it in many different scriptures. But in 1 Corinthians especially, I'm thinking about, this do in remembrance of me. And so it's a service of remembering. Be renewed in our thoughts of our Savior Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and our soon returning Lord. I'd like to ask you this question this morning. What brought you to this communion service? What brought you here? I'm not talking about what for vehicle you drove. I'm talking about what is within your heart that you desire to come to a service where you remember somebody that was beaten, somebody that was treated very cruelly. What brought you here? Is it because you know the price that was paid for your sins? From Adam and Eve, all have sinned. You know, in the Garden of Eden, back in Genesis, we have the account of where man was placed in that garden, and they were in a perfect state. There was no sin. And Satan comes in, and he tempts Eve, and he causes her to sin, and she gives to Adam, and he sinned. And from that time on, sin has come on every one of us. We have all sinned. And there's been at that time, there was a cherubim that was placed there to keep man from, an angel was there to keep man from going into that Garden of Eden and living forever. The access to the tree of life was cut off. And so man was lost in sin. And that has passed down to you and I. There is no other way to get to heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament pointed forward to Jesus Christ. The New Testament, where we're living at today, we look back on the provision that was made for you and I to have our sins washed away and to be in right standing with God. That is what we are here at this service for, to remember that. And I trust that's why you came. Luke chapter 22. Here's what Jesus said when he instituted the ordinance of communion. And we're not going to take real much thoughts from here, but I want to just just as I have sprung that question on you, what brought you to this communion service? I want you to think about this. As Jesus is there with his disciples, the very Son of God, the very one that's going to give his life. And he said this in verse 15, Luke 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until I be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And I believe that fulfilled in the kingdom of God is the future of when Christ comes back for his bride, the church. The only way we can have our Savior and to be with, meet with him in heaven and be part of that marriage supper of the Lamb is to, because of the price he paid for your sins and mine. If you're looking for a title for the message this morning, I've entitled it, A Sacrifice of Love. What comes to your mind when you think about Jesus Christ? The work that was done at Calvary for the sins of the whole world. What comes to your mind? We're not going to go read one of these accounts. I don't believe we'll have time for it. Of all the unjustness that was given to him, the unjust accusations, the cruelty as he was beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head, and one of the most cruel deaths on the cross, crucified. I think about that when I think about this service. Jesus Christ and the work that was done at Calvary for the sins of the whole world. As I read that account again this week, I also renewed in my mind the disciples that were uncertain of what was happening. And they were sorrowful because the master they were following, it seemed to be the end of the road for him. But no, he didn't. He didn't stay in that grave. He came forth. I also see the sorrowful women, the ones that cared for Jesus, standing afar off, watching, caring, and then coming to the tomb with spices and finding that Jesus is not there but risen. A sacrifice of love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave. He gave willingly for you and I. This is something that for us to ponder as we ponder Christ's giving. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right in your sinful state, Christ died for you. He knew you were sinners. He knew you and I were sinners. He knew that we had that nature within us. And that nature that our brother talked about, that we need the forgiveness daily. Not that we're sinning willfully. Thank our brother for sharing his thoughts on that. But we live in a sin-cursed world, and we strive to do the best, and we strive to maintain our vision of Christ and serve him faithfully, but we find ourselves so many times stumbling along in need of forgiveness again. Christ died for us. He had his love for us. A sacrifice of love. I want to look at that a little bit. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. This is just following the first communion service as it was going to commemorate what was going to happen to Jesus, This is following it. Jesus is looking forward. He knows all things. He knows what's going to happen to him. This is what happens in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, this with his disciples, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then cometh he unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. As I ponder these verses here, a sacrifice of love, my first thought is, it was in obedience to God's plan. As Jesus was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he realized that there is a plan that his Father had from the foundation of the world that he was to fulfill. And that was to give his life for you and I, for the sins of the whole world, anyone that availed themselves to it. Part of the inspiration for this message came from a song, and I want to read those words at this time. A sacrifice of love. The words, title of this song is, If That Isn't Love. I think we all probably know the song or have heard it. Dottie Rambo wrote it. Listen to the words. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love. The ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. The sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then the future life in heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean, the water in the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky that you see at nighttime. The sparrow couldn't even fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. The songwriter uses things that you and I know about. To explain to us how important love is. The love of God, how important that is to us. That sacrifice of love. Life is worthless without it. If we didn't have a place to go for our sins to be washed away, we'd be at a loss. And there wouldn't even be heaven to look forward to. I'm thankful Jesus came in obedience to God's plan and gave his life there on that cross. You know, his vision started at the age of 12, or before that. But at the age of 12, I was pondering of him when he was in the temple there reasoning with the doctors and the teachers. And his mom asked him, "Why have you done this?" And he said, "Wish ye not that I should be about my father's business." He realized already in life that there was a plan for him. The sacrifice was made out of love. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I put this for my second point. A sacrifice of love is lovingly. Our brother read from 1 John chapter 3. We should read all of chapter 4, but we're not going to do that. Let's start reading at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Love is of God. That is where you find love. My point is that we're not talking, the love we're talking about this morning is not that love that you and I experience or have those little feelings. But no, God's love is way beyond that, and he explains love, and he just is love. And when we think about love in our world today, that choice, that love that's a choice, where we choose to love, we look to God and look at his choice to love us. We have that example of God loving us. Now we're going to go back to the account in John. I don't make apologies for reading a lot of scripture this morning, but we're going to go back to John chapter 19. We're going to the account of the crucifixion. And I pondered of where to start and stop reading. But we are breaking in here where Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's there. He's gone through all the trials. He's gone through all the sufferings to this point. He is now nailed to the cross. He's paying the price for your sins and my sins. John chapter 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home." Jesus had love even for when he's going through excruciating pain and suffering. He looks down from the cross and sees his mother. And God is love. And Jesus, as part of the Trinity, is love. And he can't, in his hour of suffering, he sees his mother there. And in love, he talks to her. He cares about her. If that isn't love, put yourself in pain and suffering. I haven't had a lot in life, but I know when I feel sick, I find it hard to think about other people. I'm more worried about myself and getting well, to my shame. Not Jesus. His look was outward. His look was, what can he do for those about him? If that isn't love. A sacrifice of love, the next one I want to look at. A willing sacrifice. The willing sacrifice that he did for you and I. It was part of his life the whole way through. And when he faced the cross, that's what it was, a willing sacrifice. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hebrews 10:5, let's turn to that one. I have it in my notes, but let's just turn here. Again, a good passage. It would have been good to read it all. As the writer of Hebrews said, many profound statements. Hebrews chapter 10, start reading at verse 5. Before this, he's looking at the Old Testament and the Old Testament sacrifices. But in verse 5, wherefore he saith, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offerings by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see that sacrifice. Twice in this passage he says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. A willing sacrifice, do God's will. And he was willing to do it. We read about his struggle there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, as thou will. He would rather not, but he was willing. A willing sacrifice. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 26. I know we're jumping around. Matthew 26, jumping around in scriptures, but I want to pull the points out that I have here for our message. We're looking at a willing sacrifice. Matthew 26, verse 51. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. Again, we are back at the place where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's leaving it. The hour has come, he tells his disciples. And here comes Judas with a group of soldiers. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus, in verse 51 again, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put again up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and ye shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? If Jesus wasn't a willing sacrifice, he would have called those 12 legions of angels. All power. The soldiers would have had no chance, no choice. But Jesus chose not to. You know, all through Jesus' ministry, he did so many miracles. He would be in the temple and he'd just disappear from those people that were trying to trap him. He could get away. And I don't know if that was one of the things that Judas thought when he betrayed Jesus, is that Jesus will just do another miracle. But it wasn't so. Jesus, in his willing sacrifice, when he realized it was his hour to shed his blood, he willingly gave it. If that isn't love. The ocean dry. What did it cost him? We touched on it already. What was the cost of this sacrifice of love? Well, first off, he was God. We have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus was present at the creation. He's there in heaven, the glories of heaven. And he chooses to leave that and to come down in the form of a man. Be subject to like passions as you and I. He left heaven for that. To be that sacrifice. Remember that song starts out that Sister Dottie wrote. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing full well the cross was the end. Through life, he met religious leaders, the religious of that day, that tried so hard to trap him on every side. They opposed him. And you find him reaching out time and time again, speaking truth to them. He faced that. Betrayal by one of his 12. Denial by one of his 12. Unjust accusations at the trial. Yet he opened not his mouth. Beating that cut flesh open. Mockery with a crown of thorns on his head. People smiting him, driving those thorns deeper. Till he's finally so weak as he's bearing his cross to the crucifixion spot. He's so weak, they call on someone else to carry his cross. It cost him all that. Because that was his life. This morning, we must realize Christ died. He was dead. Life was gone. The blood he shed when he had all power to come down from that cross, to never let those people get a hold of him, but instead he's doing the will of the Father, a sacrifice of love. He willingly did it. Just a few thoughts yet. I want to look at what our response should be to the sacrifice of love. What's our response to the sacrifice of love today? Well, first of all, we need to remember. In a service like this, that's what we are here for. This do in remembrance of me. We need to remember it. And ponder it. Another response that we need to have for it is one of faith. And I know we needed faith when we came to Christ, but we need faith every day of our life. And I trust that this morning, your response is a greater growing in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." What's your faith like? Do you have the faith that the blood of Jesus Christ is strong enough and it paid the price for all the sins of the whole world, and that includes yours and mine? We don't need to live in sin because of the sacrifice that was paid. When Jesus would heal people, according to your faith, be it done unto you. What's your faith like? Jesus can heal you. He has the power. And that is what we are thinking about this morning in this special service, is about the faith that we can have in the power of Jesus' blood and the sacrifice that was paid for us. We talked about Jesus' loving sacrifice. I want to, what's our response? Jesus facing the cross. He's instructing his disciples in John 13, verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you," I'm talking to the disciples, but it's to us today too. This is what he's saying to us. This new commandment he's giving to us, he goes on in verse 34 to say, "that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know, the world shall know, that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another." Where do we see the love? Christ's provision for our salvation. And the world can know that we have the love of God by the love we have for one another. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." These ones that we are taking part in communion with, do we have the love for them as we ought to? When people view the church, can they see a brotherhood of love? Earlier I'd read the verse in 1 John 4, verse 11. About love that God had sent his Son. And verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Our response in life needs to be love, because of the love that Christ had for us. I'm not saying that we don't have struggles in life. I'm not saying that we don't have trials in life. We do. But as I view those trials in light of the love of God that he had for me, can I lay down and love my brethren as I ought to? John 14:15, another verse. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. Another thing for us to do. To obey God. To keep His commandments. Things He asks of us to do. What does love look like to, from you to God? What does it look like? I trust it's not just a twice a year at communion service type of love. I trust that these services that we have is but a strengthening of the relationship you have with Jesus Christ every day of your life. That's love to God. When we can worship Him, when we give Him thanks for the price He paid for us, when we have a relationship with Him, we give our lives to Him in adoration. It brings me to the last part of a way of telling Christ that we love Him. And that is a life of service. A life of service. Matthew 28, verse 19, that's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There's nobody left out. The world needs to know about the love of God. Saul, on the road to Damascus, struck with a bright light. As he fell there, he said, and he trembling in the stall, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord gave him instructions, said, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Christ tells us what to do. We need to obey it, a life of service. This morning, in this service of remembering our Lord and Savior, I trust we have got a new glimpse of the sacrifice that was paid. And we go through this service, special service. Let's remember it. The sacrifice paid for my sins and for your sins. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha there to lay down His life for me. Even in death, He remembered the thief hanging by His side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then He took him to paradise. That's our God. He cares for you and I the same way. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. I also thought of the song that we sing sometimes, O Lord, within my soul, I long for purity, to be complete and whole alone through Thee. Now, it's only through Christ. But what stood out to me is the refrain. There is no other hope. There is no other plea. Salvation full, salvation free must come alone through Thee. I bend before Thy cross and know my heart can be cleansed from its sin and dross alone through Thee. I pray at Thy dear feet, salvation full entreat, and want to feel my love in Thee complete. My faith Thy word believes, the promise made to me, and perfect peace receives alone through Thee. There is no other hope. There is no other plea. Salvation full, salvation free, must come alone through Thee. I trust this morning as we remember that we say, thank You, Lord, for the provisions that were made. for our sins to be washed clean. We're now going to go into the special service, to the communion part of it.